Ask an advisor what's really keeping them from going independent, and it's almost never the payout. It's the compliance department down the hall. That department has been somebody else's problem their entire career, and the thought of owning it keeps good people in firms they've outgrown. Today, I'll show you who actually carries compliance in each independent model, and the one piece of it nobody can carry for you. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. If compliance is the thing you keep circling back to when you think about leaving, this one's for you. We'll cover who owns the job in each model, what the rules genuinely require, what you can hand off, and the compliance that applies to the move itself. Start with the part that gets flattened in every conversation about this. Compliance doesn't disappear when you go independent. It changes owners. And independent isn't one thing. So the owner changes with the version you pick. Right now, as an employee at a wirehouse or a bank or an employee broker-dealer, the firm's compliance department carries it. That department is part of what your payout grid is buying. If you go to an independent broker-dealer, the firm still supervises your securities business under the rule book of FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. You own your practice and you run your office inside their supervision. If you start your own registered investment advisor, an RIA, the answer is you. That's the row people are picturing when they get scared. If you tuck in to an RIA that already exists, you come aboard under their program, and it was never your job to build it. And on a supported independence platform, you keep ownership of your practice while the platform provides the compliance support and the back office for a share of the economics, five rows. And the one that scares everybody is exactly one of them. So the question isn't really who does my compliance? It's which trade you want. The more of the machinery you own, the more of the economics and the control you keep, and the more of the operating load you're carrying. So let's take that row seriously. If you run your own RIA, the core requirement lives in one place: the compliance rule under the Investment Advisors Act. It asks three things of every registered advisor: adopt written policies and procedures designed to prevent violations, review them at least once a year for whether they're actually adequate and working, and designate a chief compliance officer, a CCO, to administer the program. State-registered firms face closely parallel state requirements. Around that core sits the rest of it: your Form ADV, the registration and disclosure document describing your firm and your fees and your conflicts, gets an updating amendment every year. The books and records rule says what you keep and for how long. The marketing rule shapes what you're allowed to say in advertising. Written out in a paragraph, that sounds heavier than it operates. A solo firm's program is a scaled-down version of the same architecture, sized for one office and no trading desk. The work is real and recurring. It's also defined: a known set of obligations on a known calendar, which is a very different animal from the vague dread most advisors carry before they've ever seen the actual list. Now, do you have to be your own CCO? Somebody at the firm has to hold the title, and at a small RIA, the founder usually holds it at launch. Regulators accept that. Plenty of founders run it well for years. The trap isn't holding the title. The trap is holding it casually. A program that exists on paper but never actually runs is worse than not having one, because those written policies become the standard your firm gets measured against, which is why I'd push you somewhere else. you don't have to carry the role alone, and most advisors shouldn't. A compliance consultant can build the initial program, calibrate it to your actual business, and run the annual review with you. A fractional or outsourced CCO goes further and takes the named role itself. Neither of those marks a firm as second rate. In my experience, the firms that get compliance wrong aren't the ones who hired help. They're the ones who assumed the manual they downloaded was a program. One line stays true under every arrangement, though. You can outsource the work. You cannot outsource the accountability. Your firm stays responsible for its compliance program no matter whose name sits on the CCO line. That's exactly why getting the right compliance consultant in your corner matters more than the cheapest one. And if the honest answer is that you don't want to touch any of this, then your own RIA is the wrong row. And two of the other rows were built for you. A tuck-in hands you a compliance program that already works, and the trade is control. You're operating inside someone else's firm, run someone else's way. Supported independence keeps more of the ownership with you, while a platform handles the compliance and the operations underneath. One more thing before I wrap up, because it's the part advisors skip. The move itself has compliance mechanics, and they show up before any destination model matters. When you resign, your old firm files a form called the U5, the termination notice for your securities registrations, and what it says becomes part of your permanent regulatory record. Your employment agreement may impose a notice period or garden leave where you're still employed and paid but restricted from client contact. That agreement is also where you find out whether you signed a non-compete, which limits where you can work, or a non-solicit, which limits who you can contact. And on the receiving end, FINRA requires the hiring broker-dealer to deliver an educational communication to your former clients when they're contacted about following you. It's not a reason to stay. It's a reason to sequence it properly. Agreement reviewed before notice is given. Destination compliance stood up before resignation day. Most advisors don't have a securities attorney on call, and this is the moment to fix that. An attorney who reads transition agreements for a living, plus a compliance consultant for wherever you're landing, cover between them nearly everything on this list. And plenty of advisors are working through this right now. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. Every one of them answered this question somehow. If you're not sure which row of that map your practice belongs in, we built a short assessment for exactly that. Six questions, and it points you to a private conversation or the research that fits your situation. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. 2 minutes and you'll know where you stand. Pick the owner on purpose, clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.